It's not that I've been trying to avoid you, Sam. Don't worry. Good morning, everyone. Let's continue in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are working in our midst, that you never leave us, that you are with us always. And even though we may struggle, even though we may go through hardships, we know that you are with us. So Lord, I ask that you would speak here in this place, that you would give me the words to speak, Lord. Lord, you know how much I wrestled with this passage and how difficult it was for me. So Lord, I trust that you are the one who is speaking here in this place and not me. Lord, may all glory and honor be yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 84 is one of those psalms that many of us know. We've sung many of the verses over and over in various songs. I approached this passage when I saw it and thought, oh, I know this. I know the Psalm 84. Oh, I know. But I didn't realize how little I actually knew about the psalm until I started preparing my sermon. And that's when I realized this is not an easy passage to preach on. I had very little idea of what Psalm 84 was about. I knew the verses. I've sung them countless times in various songs. Yet, I just knew those verses. I didn't know what the whole psalm was about. And it wasn't really until I started studying for the sermon that I started to realize how we take verses and songs and we may know them and we may think we know the Bible, but we really don't. And it struck me as I was preparing for today's message how little I actually knew about Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is a pilgrimage psalm. That means it's a psalm that scholars believe was written by the writer, written or spoken or sung by the writer, as the writer was making their way to the temple in Jerusalem. See, every year, Jewish people, Israelites, particularly the men, were expected to make the trek to the temple in Jerusalem 3 times per year for 3 major festivals. And scholars believe that the psalmist wrote this or sang this or spoke it on one of those journeys to the temple in Jerusalem. That Psalm 84 is the anthem or the heart's cry of an Israelite on his journey to the temple. And on his journey to the temple, he can't wait to get there. He can't wait because he knows what getting to the temple meant. He would be in the presence of the living God in the temple. And so he says in verse 1, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." For the psalmist, this is what he's been waiting and longing for, and he wouldn't miss it for the world. He longs to be in God's presence so much that he's even jealous of the birds. That's what verse 3 is. Verse 3 says, "Even the sparrows have found a home and a swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God." He's jealous of the birds because they could fly into the temple and set up their nest by the altar of the living God. The birds could get closer to the temple, to the altar, and closer to God than he could get. And so he's jealous of the birds. He can't wait to be in God's presence. He's longing to be in God's presence because he knew what that meant. It meant the ability to praise God always. Verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." And so as the psalmist is making his journey to the temple, that is what is on his mind. He can't wait to get to his destination. He can't wait to get to the temple to be in the presence of the living God. And while he can't wait to be in the presence of God, he also understood the reality. The reality was, in order for him to make it to the temple, he would have to journey there. And the journey to Jerusalem back then was nothing like road trips that we may often enjoy now. Depending on where he was coming from, it could have been a journey of several days, one way. A journey that took him several days just to get to Jerusalem. Not spent in the comfort of an air-conditioned car, but spent walking in the blistering heat of a desert. This was not an easy trip, but the Jewish man would make it because They knew they were supposed to come to the temple 3 times a year to celebrate God. But more importantly, he would make it because he wanted to be in God's presence in the temple. But he knew the reality. This trip was not an easy trip. Not only was it dangerous because you're walking in the middle of the desert through the desert heat, but it could be dangerous because there were often robbers and thieves hiding out on the road, waiting to attack and rob the travelers. That's probably part of the reason the psalmist can't wait to get to the temple to be in God's presence, because once he's in the temple, he's safe. But the journey itself could be quite treacherous. But he knew that in order to reap the benefit of getting to the temple, to reap the benefit of being in the Lord's presence, he would have to travel the journey. That's probably why he came up with this psalm, to help him through the difficulties of the journey, to remind him that, yes, the journey may be difficult, yes, the journey may be treacherous, but it's all worth it in the end to be in the presence of the living God. And while the psalmist may have written this for his journey to the temple, I think it's a perfect metaphor for life here on earth, for the Christian life that we live now. So many of us long to be with Jesus, to be in the presence of the living God. But in order for us to get there, in order for us to get to eternity, we still have to endure the journey that is this life. And I think that's where we can learn from the psalmist. The psalmist tells us that we have to look to God alone for our strength in this journey. In the first half of verse 5, he says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you." The psalmist knew how tough the journey was. Not just physically tough, but dangerous as well. But he also knew that it was impossible for him to travel on his own. It was stupid and foolish for him to travel on his own, because that would make him ripe to be a target for the bandits and robbers. That's why he knew he had to find his strength in God alone. For all his preparations, for all the work that he did to get ready for the trip, he knew that it wouldn't mean much without the Lord with him every step of the way. Yet with the Lord with him, he knew how blessed he would be. He knew how blessed he would be, regardless of how treacherous the road ahead might be. With the strength of God with him, he knew how blessed he would be, not just when he got to the temple, but along the way. I think this relates to us as we walk and try to live the Christian life. The Christian life is tough. It's tough. It's so tough that we can't do it on our own. Who can love their enemies on their own? Who can turn the other cheek to someone who slaps us on our own? Who can love those who persecute us? The Christian life is too tough to do on our own, but we don't have to do it on our own. We have God with us. In fact, the psalmist is reminding us, we can't do this on our own. We have to rely on God through this life. We have to turn our lives over to him and trust in him and rely on him each and every step of the way. We have to learn to trust Jesus with this life, not just with the joys, but with the struggles. We need to stop trying to live this life on our own, thinking we can make it through this by ourselves, thinking we can do what we want whenever we want, because we can't. We need to learn to turn our lives over to Jesus and let him take control. We need to find our strength in Christ alone. The irony of this is that I think most of us know this. We know how hard life can be. We know how painful life can be. Sick and dying parents, dreams of having children crushed for whatever reason, children that cause parents heartache and pain. We know how hard life is, and we know that we can't make it on our own. We know that. We've been told that so many times, we know that in our heads. We know we can't make it without Jesus. Yet how often do we still try? How often do we still try to do things on our own, by our own strength, rather than turning to Jesus? How often do we burn out because instead of finding strength in the Lord, we continue to use our own strength to try and do things. We continue to rely on ourselves and think, I can do this. I can do this. But we can't. And the psalmist reminds us that we can't do this on our own. This is why quiet time with Jesus is so important. This is why our prayer lives are so important. Because it's in spending time with Jesus that we are learning to trust Him. That we're learning to turn to Him and find our strength in Him. It's when we don't spend time with Jesus that we think that we can do this on our own. But sooner or later, we realize we can't. That's why the psalmist tells us, blessed are those whose strength is in you. The psalmist also tells us that we need to set our hearts on the journey. We can't think about eternity alone and wait for eternity. We have to realize that this is where God has put us right now and make the most of it. Psalmist says in the second half of verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrimage. The psalmist realized that as much as he can't wait to get to the temple, as much as he can't wait to be in the presence of the living God, he realized he needs to make the most of the journey to the temple as well. That's why he says in verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Scholars are torn on what the Valley of Baca is. Some think that it's a physical place, an actual place on the way to Jerusalem. But others think that the Valley of Baca is symbolic. There's no consensus on the meaning of the word Baca. That's why instead of translating it into English, they just transliterate it as Baca. The root of the Hebrew word is translated as weep 98 times out of 114 times in the Old Testament. So scholars believe the psalmist was saying, as they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. Some scholars, rather than it being a physical place, the psalmist is saying, as those whose strength is in the Lord pass through the valley of weeping, a valley of pain, of suffering, of struggle, of hardship, they turn it into a place of springs. That those who find their strength in the Lord, those who are committed to bearing witness to the living God in this life, even though they go through hardships and pains, Christ in them turns those hardships into springs of living water because they're committed to making the most of this journey. They're not just waiting to get to heaven. They're not just waiting until they die so that they can enjoy Christ, but they're making the most of this journey, this time here and now, living for Jesus here and now. And if during their journey now, during this life, if they encounter valleys of weeping, rather than complaining, rather than quitting, rather than sulking about how tough life is and how unfair it is, those who find their strength in the Lord turn, see those valleys of weeping as opportunities. Opportunities to bear witness to a living God. Opportunities to see how faithful God is to them. Opportunities to see God at work. They turn those opportunities, those valleys of weeping, into places of springs. Because they're not just waiting until eternity. They're not just waiting for eternity to come, but they're making the most of this life, this journey. They're living out Christ in their life right now. Likewise, we have to find our strength in Christ alone, for this life in Christ alone. Because it's only when we do that we can live this life to the fullest for Christ. We need to live this life with the realization that this isn't it. There's more. Eternity, our home, this is not our home. This world is not our home. Our home is yet to come in eternity. Yet at the same time, we can't just live waiting for eternity, saying, forget this world because it's not our home. We can't just wait for heaven to come. We need to live in this world because this is where Christ has put us. We need to live in this world as stewards of Jesus, as salt and light in this world, bearing witness to what an awesome God our God is. all with the mindset that this is not it. There is more to come. We need to take on those valleys of weeping, not by complaining, not by being angry, not by thinking that God has left us, but by realizing that they are opportunities. Opportunities to see God at work. Opportunities to see how faithful God is, even in trials and hardships. And opportunities for us to bear witness to the living God. Opportunities for us to say to those around us who are going through hardships and hard times, you know, I'm okay. I don't know what's going on. I don't necessarily like it, but I'm okay. Why? Because I found peace in my Lord Jesus. That's how we make the most of this journey. We don't complain, but we see every valley of weeping as an opportunity to praise God, to draw closer to God, to draw others to God. For all the complaining that we used to do about not having enough time, I think that's one thing that COVID gave us. It gave us more time. With less places to go, less people to see, it gave us more time for ourselves than we had prior to COVID. So instead of complaining about how much COVID sucks and how life is so different and how I can't wait until it goes back to the way things were, I think we should be making the most of the extra time that we have. I think we should be making the most of that extra time by spending it with Jesus, going deeper in our relationship with Him, but also spending it with others, those who know Him, but also those who don't know Him. I'm sure in your workplaces, in your schools, in your neighborhoods, and maybe in your families, there are others who are struggling, trying to make sense of what's going on now. There's people who are struggling with all the things that have happened to them. And instead of seeing this as an opportunity to complain about how we wish things were the way they were, we need to see these as an opportunity to bear witness to what an awesome God is. Maybe we need to see this time of pandemic as an opportunity for us to draw closer to God, but also for us to bear witness to those who don't know Him, for those who may feel like they're struggling and suffering on their own. I think we need to see this as an opportunity to praise the Lord. And we can only do that when we commit to this journey. When we commit to seeing the hardships, the valleys of weeping as opportunities to serve Jesus. But I think the struggle, the challenge, the temptation for us is it's hard to make the most of this journey. It's hard to live in this world without becoming of the world. And I think that's why the psalmist, after talking about the journey, goes back to talking about how great it is to be in God's presence. That's why the psalmist says in verse 10, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." The psalmist knew that part of the temptation of setting our hearts on pilgrimage, of committing to this journey that is this life, is that this journey could potentially become more important to us than the destination. Because when we try to make the most of our lives here on earth, it's easy to get led astray by the world. It's easy to start thinking that the things of this world are more important than God. It's easy to start thinking that the things this world says are more true than what God says. It's easy to start thinking that the things that this world can offer us are so much better than what God can offer us later on. And I think that's why the psalmist goes back to this. He bookends the psalm talking about how great being in God's presence is with, again, talking about how great being in God's presence is, because he realizes that is the temptation for all of us. When we commit to this journey, when we commit to living in this world for Christ, It's very easy to slip and get sucked into this world, so that instead of living in the world, we start to become of the world. As we live in this world, trying to make the most of the opportunities God puts in our lives, it's easy to get sucked into the world, to think that the things that matter in this world are really the things that matter, to think that money, fame, approval, likes on social media, that those are the things that are actually important. And I think the psalmist knew this. That's why he says, he knew that this is a temptation for anyone who commits to the journey. And that's why he says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. It's a reminder to himself that it's so much better to be near God, even if that means being a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, than it is to be in the middle of the party of this world. He knows, and he's reminding himself, it is so much better to be just near God than it is to be in the middle of the party of this world. It's a reminder to himself, and it's a reminder to us to not get sucked into this world. Yes, we live in the world, but we are not of the world. This world is not our home. Heaven is our home. We are ambassadors in this world, ambassadors of heaven, ambassadors of Christ in this world. And we want to represent our home. We want to represent our Lord faithfully here in this world. But we don't want to forget that our true home is not this world. We don't want to get sucked into the allure of this fake world. Because as good as this world looks sometimes, compared to our real home, this world is a shabby tent. It gives you a false sense of security. Tents give you a false sense of security. You go camping and you use a tent and you think, it's going to protect me. It's going to protect me from the elements. It's going to protect me from the rain. It's going to protect me from wildlife. But anyone who's been camping knows that tent is pretty useless. It doesn't protect you from anything. It doesn't protect you from the cold. It doesn't really protect you from the rain. That's why you have to buy a separate tarp to put over your tent, because the tent doesn't really protect you from the rain. The tarp protects you from the, protects the tent. So that keeps you dry. Because a tent really doesn't do much. And it definitely won't protect us from wildlife. It's an illusion. We think this flimsy little structure is going to protect us when we go camping. But in reality, it can't do any of that. It's just an illusion. And I think that's what the psalmist is getting at. The world, the things that this world offers are an illusion. It's like a tent. It looks nice. We think it can do something for us, but in reality, the tent is pretty useless. That's why it's so much better to be a gatekeeper or doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. A gatekeeper or a doorkeeper implies there's an actual door or an actual gate. It implies that there is a building, not just a shabby little tent, but an actual building, a house. That's why it's so much better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Because even though we may just be a doorkeeper, even though we may just be on the outside, as with the house, we can still seek shelter. Shelter from the elements. Shelter from the enemies. Just inside the door. It's not the illusion of a tent that we think will protect us, will take care of us. It's an actual house that will take care of us, that can protect us. And that's why, that's like this world. The illusion this world portrays is that it has so much to offer us, that the things that it has to offer us are so good, so pleasing. But in reality, it's all an illusion. The things that this world has to offer us are nothing compared to what life with the living God has to offer us. And I think that's what the psalmist is reminding us. That as we commit to the journey, as we set our heart on pilgrimage, as we try to make the most of this life and make the most of the opportunities that God puts before us, that we need to remember, this is not our home. Our home is in eternity. And while the things of this world might look nice, while the things of this world might feel good, while the things of this world may be tempting and alluring to us, this world is all an illusion. It may feel nice now. It might make us feel good for feel good about ourselves for a little bit. It might even be fun. But the things of this world don't last. The things of this world are an illusion. And sooner or later, that tent will come crumbling down. That's why it's better to be a gatekeeper in the house of our Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked when it crumbles. I remember when I was at Regent, one of the professors said that many Christians are so heavenly focused that they're no earthly good. I know there are many Christians who are like that. They're just waiting for heaven. But it seems more and more, at least in the Western world, things have changed and gone kind of the other way. Christians in the Western world seem to be so earthly focused, we're no heavenly good. It almost seems like Christians in the Western world, and that includes us, have tried so hard to fit into this world, have tried so hard to get along in this world, to be accepted by this world, that we've lost our heavenly focus. We don't want to be no earthly good, but the only way we can be any earthly good is by finding our strength in Christ alone. We need to set our heart on pilgrimage. We need to commit to the journey, but we need to do that by finding our strength in Christ alone. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, our Lord and Savior in eternity. But that's the tricky part, isn't it? We need to live in this world without being of this world. We need to live in this world. But we need to live in this world as salt and light in this world, not live as this world. But that's what's tough. Living in this world without being of this world is the tough part, especially when the world tugs at us from all these different directions, especially when the world tempts us with so many things. So many things that seem good. So many things that feel good. So many things that look good. I think that's why the psalmist started with verse 1. Because the way we avoid that temptation is by keeping our eyes on our real home. The knowledge that this isn't our home. That no matter how good or bad this life gets, no matter how enjoyable or how troublesome this life may be, the knowledge that this isn't our home, I think, is what keeps us going. That longing to be in home with our Heavenly Father. And I think that knowledge that this is not our home, that longing for our real home, is what keeps us grounded. We still have to live in this world, but we don't want to become of this world. We still have to live in this world and live a life that reflects God's goodness, that reflects God's mercy and joy. We need to be salt and light in this world and reflect God to this world. But at the same time, we have to remember, we have to long for our real home. Not this world. This world will come and this world will go. Our real home is not here. Our real home is in eternity. And I think that's what the psalmist is telling us. Get ready for the journey. This journey is not going to be easy. The journey is going to pull at us and tug at us in many different ways. And especially with COVID right now, it's tugging at us in ways that we've never experienced before. But as it's tugging at us, as it's frustrating us, as it's challenging us, as it's making us anxious or nervous or whatever else it's doing to us, remember, this is not our home. Our home is in eternity. Instead of seeing the challenges and the different things that are happening as opportunities to complain, see them as opportunities to glorify God. See them as opportunities to draw closer to God, to see God at work in our lives. And see them as opportunities that will draw us closer to the living God. This is not our home. We need to live with the longing for our real home, but at the same time, we need to live in this world now. And the only way we can do that is with the strength of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes it's so easy for us to forget that this is not our home, that our real home awaits us in eternity. Because sometimes we get so tempted and lured by the things of this world. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. And especially in this time of COVID with all the things that have changed, Lord, help us not to just complain about how things are different. Help us not to just complain about how we wish for the way things were, but help us to use this as an opportunity to draw closer to you, as an opportunity to bear witness to those who don't know you of what an awesome God you are, as an opportunity to see you at work in our lives and to be reminded that this is not our home, that we're longing for a much, so much better home than this with you. Lord, would you continue to remind us of this every single day? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.